Welcome to the Midday with Norman.
And Stephanie. Good afternoon.
And we have a guest.
We do. We're delighted to welcome pianist Simona Dinnerstein to the Midday. She graduated from Juilliard, where she studied with Peter Serkin, among others. And she topped Billboard's classical charts with her debut recording of Johann Sebastian Bach's Goldberg Variations. And that recording was also named one of the year's best by the New York Times and by iTunes and the LA Times.
And after all that, welcome.
And she's here in Wisconsin for the very first time, so a warm Wisconsin welcome, Simona.
Thanks.
Yeah, you got here just in time for our first real snowfall.
Yep, first real wintry day.
Only a token snowfall for you, not to slow you down too much. We mentioned the Goldberg Variations, and of course that has some famous predecessors who have recorded it. Glenn Gould did two famous recordings some many years apart, and others have done them as well. But I've also read that you take your own path when it comes to interpreting a piece of music. You don't worry too much about even what the composer had in mind. So what did you put into your Goldberg Variations, do you think, that really made them take off with the popular imagination?
Well, I think when I play a piece of music, when I'm working on it and developing an interpretation of it, I guess I am looking at the score very much and trying to understand what lies within it. And with a piece like the Goldberg Variations, it's so huge and complex, and there are so few kind of written instructions for how to play it. There's basically notes and note values.
and those for the harpsichord.
For the harpsichord, I mean, it's a complex issue how you develop an interpretation in terms of thinking about performance practice, because I am playing it on a very different instrument in a very different period of time. So I tried playing it many, many different ways, and after a while, some things felt good and some things didn't feel good. And I guess I take in mind a lot the architecture of a piece of music and how to connect the many small elements into a larger whole. And sometimes decisions are made based on that more than anything else.
What do you think it is about your performance on that recording that really connected with so many people?
Well, that's hard for me to say. I mean, I think that I know what people have told me in that they felt that it was very personal or intimate. And certainly that's how I feel about the piece, but I don't know why, you know, I couldn't say why people have latched on to that so much.
Is it a challenge, do you think, for you or your hearers to play that in a concert setting? After all, it was, according to legend, credible legend, written as kind of a lullaby, wasn't it? 50 minutes long, though, with a single keyboard player.
Well, I would say that it was written to entertain the count who was having this insomnia problem. You know, I think that I don't think it could put you to sleep. There's too much going on.
That's what I'm asking. Yes,
I'm thinking it was rather a substitute for television, which they didn't have.
Thank goodness, or Bach might have been a lot less prolific.
Yes.
Let's hear some of it. Why don't we? This is actually not from your complete Goldberg Variations recording, which is said is what, about 50 minutes or something like that?
It's about 80 minutes.
Is it
actually,
that long for the whole thing?
Yeah.
This actually, to begin at the ending, is one of the variations that you played as an encore, variation 13, during a concert that was recorded in Berlin. Our guest today, Simona Dinnerstein, with this Goldberg Variation by Bach.
Thank you.
an encore from a fairly recent Berlin concert by our guest today, Simona Dinnerstein. That was the Variation 13 from the Goldberg Variations by Bach.
And now I see why everybody loves your Bach. It's stunning. You've put together a very interesting program for the concert this evening. We should say Simona Dinnerstein is here to appear at the Wisconsin Union Theater in Madison tonight at 8. And it includes the French Suite, and music by Lasser. Can you tell us about that composer?
Yes, this is, I'm playing 12 Variations on a Bach Chorale by Philip Lasser. And Philip is a composer who is based in New York, who teaches at Juilliard. And I got to know him when I was playing his cello sonata with Zuhal Bailey several years ago. And I find his music to be pretty unusual for today's composers, in that it's extremely beautiful. And I think that, you know, I'm all for discord, but I think that there's also a place for beauty, and he is certainly a gorgeous composer, and his piano writing is so pianistic that it's really wonderful to play. And and he's a very personal composer. He has a very strong voice of his own that's both kind of a combination of American and French, which he actually is also French, and so he was trained in the Boulanger tradition of composition, and you can hear that in his music.
The phrase pianistic made me think of the word painterly, and your father is a famous artist. Is he also a musician? Where did the music come from in your family, Anna?
No, my dad is not a musician, and there is really not much music in my family except for a cousin who's a sitar player. That's a very different kind of music. But my father has been a strong influence on me. He's a figurative painter, realistic painter. And I grew up going to lots of museums and looking at a lot of art with him. And when he would try to relate to my music, he would always use art terminology with me. And so I grew up thinking a lot about line and color and composition, and all of those things apply to music as well.
And I was remarking at the break that if you typed in Simona's website address, simonadinnerstein.com, and you left off the E of Simona, you would find your father's website.
Simon Dinnerstein.
Simon Dinnerstein, which is also a lovely website.
Thanks.
His doesn't have music that pops up.
No.
Any chance of him doing like an album cover for you sometime?
we've thought about that, actually, yeah.
make it a family affair. What gave you the idea to perform in prisons?
Well, the first time, I've only played in two prisons, but the first time was through the Piatigorsky Foundation, which is a foundation that I've played concerts for over the years that brings concerts to venues that might not normally get a classical music concert. So I actually gave the first classical music concert in a prison in the state of Louisiana. That was that concert.
So that Angola?
it was a wonderful experience, and that was a number of years ago. And then this past fall in October, I was in Baltimore to play with the Baltimore Symphony, and they asked if they could arrange for me to play at the State Women's Correctional Facility, which is based in Maryland, Jessup. And so I thought that sounded great, and I was actually a little bit more trepidatious about playing in a women's correctional facility. I for some reason thought that they would be somehow
Less welcoming?
Yeah, I did. I don't know why I felt that way. But in fact, they were really, I have to say, one of the best audiences I've ever played for. I mean, they were really so involved in the music and so attentive, and it really meant something to them, and it meant something to me to play for them. And then the way that they were responding, I feel like they gave me something back that I've taken with me since that day. And I got to talk to them afterwards, and it was really a real eye-opening experience for me, in that I think that you know, you can't make assumptions about people. You know, everybody is open to having a truly artistic experience, and they certainly were.
And a transcendent experience, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they were very moved by it, and they liked talking to me as well.
You mentioned that, I guess, fairly recently you were in Bonn at Beethoven's birthplace.
Yes.
Did any of that kind of rub off on you, do you think, in terms of your approach to Beethoven? Does it make any difference if there's some kind of tangible connection between you and a composer?
Well, I was particularly moved by looking at Beethoven's ear trumpets that were there, and also they have his Heiligenstadt testament in this museum there.
And that expression of anxiety on his part and his...
Yes, yeah. And they had a very upsetting audio thing that they did with it where you could hear how he would have heard the premiere of his Fifth Symphony and how he would have heard the premiere of his Ninth Symphony. And really, you know, the Ninth Symphony, you heard hardly anything at all, just static. And then the other thing that I found interesting was looking at his pianos. They actually didn't have his original piano, but they had a replica of it, which was clearly so different than the piano that I play on that it, for me, it just confirmed my feeling that I need to play to the instrument that I'm playing on as opposed to trying to recreate what he might have heard. And also, I think that maybe because of his deafness, my instinct is that he had a whole sound world in his head that was probably an imaginary sound world, in a sense. And that's kind of what you should go for, is the ideal that could take place, as opposed to what might be the limitations of playing on a real instrument.
Well, speaking of some real instruments here, though, and Beethoven, this is from one of your CDs that includes the complete works for piano and cello by Beethoven. It's on Telarc, and you are playing with, obviously, a cellist by the name of...
Zuel Bailey.
Zuel Bailey. And we'll hear a movement from the Sonata No. 3 in A by Beethoven. This would be the Scherzo. Sound of Beethoven.
We heard cellist Zuel Bailey playing with our guest, Simona Dinnerstein. You said he's an American cellist based in Virginia.
Well, he's from Virginia. Oh. He actually lives in El Paso now. Oh. So, yeah.
Are you recording with a major record label now?
Yes. I've been told various things about whether or not I can talk about this, so I don't know, but it is in the program, so I don't see why I can't say something, but I just signed with Sony.
So, congratulations.
But the official announcement hasn't happened yet, so Wisconsin's getting a preview.
We've got the scoop.
We're pleased and privileged. Is it too early to ask what that recording will consist of?
Well, we know that it's going to be all Bach, but we're working out the details of what it will be, but I think it's going to be pretty exciting.
Solo?
Well, that's the exciting bit, so I can't.
So, in suspense, will it be following your career?
Yes.
On the other end of the spectrum, you do a series of concerts for your son's school in Brooklyn.
Yes.
How did that come about, and what do you do?
Well, my son goes to our local public school in Brooklyn, and what I decided to do was to create a neighborhood concert series that is in the evening. This year it's 4 concerts, and I've invited friends and colleagues to come play, and they have all donated their performances to the school. So it's both an opportunity to bring together a community around a classical music concert, and also to raise money for the PTA. And the first concert that happened was actually my brother-in-law, Clive Greensmith, who's the cellist in the Tokyo Quartet. He played a recital with a pianist, and it raised $4,000 for the school.
Holy
so it's
mackerel,
pretty great.
That's
so.
Fantastic.
Boy, it sure beats the car wash.
Or the brownie baking. Simona Dinnerstein is our guest today on The Midday, and she'll be appearing tonight at the Wisconsin Union Theater in Madison. On the program, there's music of Webern and Bach, Aaron Copland, Franz Schubert, and also the composer Philip Lasser that we talked about. If you're interested in tickets, you can go to uniontheater.wisc.edu, or you can call 608-262-2201.
A pleasure having you with us.
Well, thanks for having me.